Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching iTunes for Radio Le Mans or visiting radiolemans.com. The Tora Radio Show, your home for sim racing news.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Tora Radio Show here on radiolemans.com. I'm Matt Hunter. And as ever, I am joined by... we're not going metaphors this time because it caused trouble last time. Ben Williams is here.
So what you're telling me is that you've completely forgotten to come up with charming introductions for both of us, so you're just going to make excuses now?
Yes. And also joining us... also joining us this month, once again, after a period of time... in a darkened room, working feverishly on IndyCar, Mr. Lewis Sattley has returned.
Yes, hello, and I'm just going to sit there and just negatively shake my head wondering why.
Why did you come back?
Why would you do that to Ben? I mean, that's a big old body slam on the guy. That's wrong, my friend. That's wrong.
Ben's been far too engaged with his car.
The car that I just got last week?
Yes. Pray tell, Ben. Tell the listeners what it is.
But the record show wasn't even going to mention it. Because it's not sim racing news. Yeah. So, I bought a 2013 Charger last week. Completely unexpected. Found one at a Ford dealer, of all places. We've been in there for 2 weeks. The price is right. Less than 100,000 miles. I will take that. Thank you.
I don't fully disagree with that statement, but, I mean, the fact that you called it a muscle car, just... No. No.
There's muscle in there.
The muscle it takes to turn the steering wheel, which is hardly any at all.
Insofar as the muscle that you know, structurally holds the bones together, yeah, I mean, we're not talking muscle as in, you know, anything you'd want to see. It's more flab. But anyway, I can't talk.
Yeah, anyways. Carry on.
Congratulations on your purchase, on your step one towards muscle car ownership. Everyone's got to start somewhere, ladies and gentlemen. If
the dear listener is sensing jealousy, I am too. So.
Hey, I'm perfectly happy over here with my 2-litre turbo. Thank you very much.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, shut up. How many BHP is yours?
300.
Oh, 20 short. Anyway, goodness me, we've started early, dear listener. If you want to get in touch with us and discuss anything that we talk about throughout the course of the show, of course you can on Twitter using @TheReal_Tora and using the hashtag TRS. It's been an interesting month in the wonderful world of esports, hasn't it? I think we've possibly had one of the best updates to Forza Motorsport 7, probably of its generation, I would say. Would that be fair, Ben?
I would agree with that, yeah. It's definitely one of the best updates that we've had to any of the Forza games in this console generation, just because of the sheer amount of stuff that we got in the pack. More in the update.
Now, I mean, of course, predominantly this did surround, I think it's safe to say, drifting. That played a very, very big part of it. But there were some other, well, certainly from an esports point of view, one very key element that got introduced, wasn't there?
Yes. We've been talking about this was been coming the last couple months here on the TRS. But we finally, this month, got update to all the track limits on all the tracks on Forza 7. So everything, if Turn 10 has gone through every single track and redone all the track limits so that they now have some real-world equivalents.
It's almost Tora clean, dear listener, which is a massive step in... I mean, Lewis, have you managed to explore some of these new limits?
Yeah, we did, actually, and we'll talk about it a little bit later on whenever we get onto a different segment, because it did come into play on the first round of the Tour IndyCar Series. But actually, I would say it's probably more strict than Tour Clean, which is what we put down as two wheels on the curbs at all times.
I would agree with that.
To be farther in there. And I think it's actually slightly more strict, but actually helps it make it easier for us, I would say, actually, because, I mean, now it's very easy to police, and as soon as you see a dirty lap pop up and it's lightning fast, you can automatically assume that, yeah, you definitely wouldn't be on the track limits. And it's literally almost quite literally as defined, which, I mean, I think you can get about 50% of the car over the line that they create, which is not quite two wheels fully on the curb at all times, but so it's a little bit more than that.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, like I said, it's a bit more strict, and I think once everybody finally gets used to it, I mean, it's still new and everybody's complaining because they just have to change the way that they have been driving these tracks since, I don't know, how long ago. So
since release, which has almost been a year now, and then probably...
Well, even going all the way back to, I would say, Forza 4 and 5.
Yeah. So. Definitely Forza 5. I don't know if how much they have to change between 4 and 5 just because of the console jump.
Now, of course, we have been told that this is the first stage in a multiple-stage process for track limits. I think a lot of us are kind of hoping that the dreaded tyre walls, fake tyre walls, if you will, it's fake tyre walls, get removed.
But, really?
Sorry, I couldn't resist. That would be the next thing, because of course, we all know, once you've got proper track limits built into the game, which is obviously phase one, which is what is happening now, phase two of taking away all the fake tyre walls, which were brought in specifically to stop corner cutting, or excessive corner cutting, rather, in Forza 6, I want to say, I think it was when they sort of came in.
Yeah. Forza 6, that's about
right. Become redundant, and therefore we can then go back to a situation where the circuits look like they actually should look.
Mm-hmm.
So, I look forward to this day. I think it will be very, very good. And what you said is absolutely right. You know, this is the early stages. There are a lot of people complaining because they've had to amend their driving style. And a lot of those people, I will say it on air, and I have said it on Twitter, and I have said it privately in other conversations as well. If you're complaining that you're getting dirty laps, drive on the track, and you won't get one.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's a bit like...
Shocking revelations here on the TRS this month.
I know. It's a bit like Toyota getting kicked out of the WEC race at Silverstone and blaming the Silverstone curbs. If you're not on the curbs, you won't get disqualified. Just saying.
That's a whole other conversation in itself.
It is.
But carry on.
Yeah. It is, but the point still stands.
We'll stick to sim racing, and we'll let John and Nick handle
their hands are full, no doubt, with MotoGP and stuff this week. So,
well, I'm sure it is. I'd love to go and jump on that show.
But we will move on because
this is the TRS. We do occasionally talk about some racing news.
Occasionally. One of those occasions.
The Online Racing Association, your home for sports car sim racing. Very, very quickly, Ben, I will throw in, of course, that the other thing, aside from drifting, and drifting was a major part of this pack, including a number of cars which are going to be shared between Horizon and Forza 7, which I'm pretty sure we'll come on to in a minute. Time Attack is back as well, so...
I was going to make sure we mentioned that.
Yes, the ultimate test for hot lappers. Return. Mm-hmm. So that's really cool. And actually, I have found myself doing some Time Attack and just remembering how bad I am at it. I think it's game specific because I'm quite bad at it in this, but it turns out I'm actually quite good at it in Formula One. But there you go. Should we talk about the magnificent drifting elements that have been brought in there?
No. I'm biased,
this is an inclusive podcast, Lewis. We never use that word.
No.
for my colleague's sanity, I'll keep this short. So basically what they did was introduce...
Go ahead, I'm just joshing.
Basically what Turn 10 introduced was a new upgrade in the upgrade shop that lets you add a drift suspension to your car, which means that you get up to 60 degrees of additional steering angle than your typical car. It's basically a lower Ackerman effect if you are familiar with suspension setups and things like that. It just reduces you from scrubbing lots of speed off whenever you're in the middle of a drift. They also redid all of their drift scoring for their drift system, so much more similar to what they do in real life situations like Formula Drift and other places where you're driving. Formula Drift's the only one I know, okay? I'm just gonna be honest.
Formula D.
Formula D. Anyway, you're now scored based more on your speed, your angle, and your line than some type of arbitrary system, which I don't think they really defined what it was before.
What? Just interrupt quick. I understand speed. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I understand the angle.
Mm-hmm.
What do they mean by line?
So if you actually get into the nitty gritty of drifting, line that they use for drifting is basically the same as a normal racing line.
Ah, okay.
You enter in wide, clip the apex, and enter and exit out wide. That way you can carry as much speed to the corner as possible. It really is not that too dissimilar to a normal racing line. If it depends what you're going for. Are you going for speed? Are you going for angle? Or
And you're scored on all these three elements, and the score gets added up depending on. So this is why you'll see them doing snakes down a straight and things like that, because it's...
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
And they said important, I believe, light wall taps won't affect your drift. Now, light wall taps, I've seen the slow-mo videos of Formula D and other the UK equivalent. And things.
Who hasn't? Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of part and parcel of the whole experience, I gather, so...
Yeah.
So that's not going to lose you your score, but ultimately, if you stuff it into a barrier, then you're probably gonna get a zero.
Yeah.
Ooh, it's like the Olympics.
The question is, though, does the suspension upgrade change how easy it is to drift? I would say yes. I mean, within a couple of minutes with just tossing it onto, like, finding a random tune on the Forza storefront and applying it to a car, I was going, like, 180-degree corners just fine.
Now, I've seen...
It just takes getting used to, just like any type of motorsport, but it's definitely made it a lot more approachable to drifting than what it was previously.
Now, I've seen some videos posted up on the YouTube by our good friend...
on the YouTube?
Yes. And my teammate, Jordan Groves... posted some videos shortly after the update came out of him drifting and utilising the extra loop at Road Atlanta.
Yeah,
it's very good. I'm not saying this to be rude. I know Jordan is a very adept at car handling. He made that look very easy.
Mm-hmm.
I have yet to try it. Yes, I'm of the 20th century. I don't get all this wasting tires for no reason.
That happened to you too?
Where we're going, we don't need tires.
But it's a good way to burn cheap tires in reality.
It's very true.
But digressing. No, I've done that loop both with and without the suspension upgrade. It's a lot easier with, honestly.
I've also heard that as a subtle addition, it didn't actually get an awful lot of mention when this came out, was that particularly in single player, maybe not so much in multiplayer, but the particle effects of smoke, as almost as a direct, because let's face it, it's an essential part of drifting.
Mm-hmm.
The smoke effects have improved dramatically, insofar as the smoke hangs in the air a lot longer and all this kind of thing. I've seen a couple of videos that show that prove that as well, which I think is fantastic from Turn 10, taking up these little details and running with them, which is great. Another really cool thing that's been brought in, something we've asked from as a direct result of our experiences running a series on a competitive competitor game, Project Cars 2, the save and load race configurations feature, which has proven to be very handy, or should prove to be very, very handy.
Oh, it has.
For race setup. Yes, but in the whole, British GT has ran a lot smoother, knowing that everything was saved in the nick of time. So that was very handy, and I'm sure it will prove to be the case with a lot more of our series as well. Great to see these features, Ben, turning up in Forza 7 as well.
Yes, very much so. Oh, and one last thing we should probably mention for this update. We got a brand new car.
We did.
Free car.
I need
which I will let you talk about so that you can get all your nerd out of you for the rest of the show.
No, no. I nearly freaked out because when they said it was the AMR1, I was like, why? Why that monstrosity? And then I remembered there was another.
And it was the right one.
Yes, this is that other, which is very, 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 very good indeed. The 1989 Aston Martin AMR1, powered by a very pleasant Callaway V8 with 700 brake horsepower.
Yes.
Nice. David Leslie drove this car.
A few people drove that car, actually.
But, yes, very pleased to see. And also, it bulks out the Group Cs that we have as well. I mean, it's the number of Group C cars we have in Forza 7, it must be one of the largest virtual official, should we say official? Because obviously I know there's lots of mods and stuff out there for other cars and stuff, so it must be one of the largest official gathering of Group C and GTP cars on a sim game.
I think it is actually, because Project Cars 2
doesn't have as many
different cars, but I mean, two or three of them are just Le Mans versions of the same car, really.
Yeah.
But overall, I think you're right, because there's quite a few different models of the cars that we have, and they have a few of them on offer that a lot of people... Actually, you know what? I think Gran Turismo beat it out back in... Or Gran Turismo 4, I think, beat it out back in the day.
Yeah.
I don't know how many are in there now, but I think Gran Turismo 4 did beat it out. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that, though. They had a ton of them in there, though.
But it is very, very good to see them. And, I want to say there's still probably a couple that would be really nice, like Spice would be great to see in there. Obviously, it would be nice to see some of the Toyotas.
I want to see the most recent version of the Yost 962 that had the twin-tier rear wing. That's what I'd like to see on there.
Which one's that? That's not the new man one, is it?
No, that was the Fat Turbo Express Yost Porsches that they were at the very end of the GTP Group C era.
Oh, we could talk about Group C's all night, and it would be very, very fun, and it could be a whole entire podcast just about our love of Group C stuff, which is newish to me, but having experienced it at the Silverstone Classic, I very much like these cars.
Yeah, they're beastly of cars.
I tell you what, the Peugeot, when I first saw, because I was the first time I marshalled at the Classic, and I was at the breaking point for Brooklands as you go into Loughfield, and the first time I heard that Peugeot coming down the Wellington Straight, good God, that thing sounds amazing.
Well, I wouldn't know, because I've never seen the Peugeot, or the Puget, as we like to say over here, because we like to pronounce things as we see them.
Puget.
Yep, Puget.
Oh dear. Yep. Oh dear. Final thoughts then, Ben, on the August update from Forza Motorsport?
It's definitely a step in the right direction. The only thing that I'm slightly disappointed in is that we didn't get a car pack this month.
Yeah.
But given everything else that they gave us, I think I'll be willing to forgive them, especially as I save lobby settings.
Yeah, I mean, there is... there is sort of a car pack, isn't there, with the Formula Drift content.
That's technically not out until next month, though.
No, true, but I mean, we'll quickly cover it, because they did do a big walk around as part of the Horizon 4 stuff recently. We'll go into more detail on them when we've obviously got our hands on Forza Horizon 4. But just for reference and research purposes, the cars coming to the Formula Drift pack are a 1989 Formula Drift BMW 325i, one of my favourites. We have a 95 Formula Drift number 118 Nissan 240SX. We then have the number 232 Nissan 240SX. We also have a number 777 Nissan 240SX. And we have, for some reason, a Viper SRT10. And we also have a newer Ford Mustang, the number 13 from 2015. And we have also a HSV Maloo Gen F, which is just silly.
The best type of silly, though.
Yeah. Now, obviously, as you may have heard, I did say Nissan 240SX a couple of times. Now, these are three very different machines, to say the least. All produced, obviously, the same kind of under the same regulations. Very different engines, very different way of putting the power down, very different looks, and I suspect probably very different to drive. And all in all, very much looking forward to giving them a go. So there we go. So that's going to be very, very interesting indeed. More on those, if you missed the episode that brought the details. So if you go onto YouTube to the Forza Motorsport channel, look for Forza Monthly August. Can't miss it. There's a big picture of a Hoonigan liveried Maloo on there. And you can watch the guys playing around with these cars just in the environments that are in Horizon 4. I'm blown away by the look of... I know we keep saying this every generation. I'm blown away by the way these things look in game. I mean, visually stunning, walking around in Forza Vista outside some bloke's house, I'm guessing. But that's that. Should we move on to another game before I sort of get lost in my own thoughts?
Yes, we should. Because we've had a recent release.
And it's a recent release we actually want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
What is the recent release, Ben?
It is F1 2018.
Yay!
Yay! Yay!
Do you know, if it was... You know how FIFA basically released the exact same game but with different skins on the...
Yep.
Yeah.
It pretty much every sports game's like that, if we're honest.
Yeah, yeah. Now, if this was that, I wouldn't be interested. Because we went through that about 10 years ago, more than 10 years ago now, when it was on the PlayStation, and it was literally year on year, slight improvements as the graphics improved and this, that, and the other, but not a lot really changed that much.
Well, that's an EA thing. They like to do little small minute details that really doesn't change much of anything except for who's on what team and what subtle differences there are on either car or uniform or sponsored list or something. Regardless of what sports game EA is doing, they have a bad habit of doing that, basically refurbishing the exact same game and giving you the same thing, just different.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But what makes it for me is there has been a graphical step up this time, definitely. But also the classic cars. Now, this was a feature that kicked off in earnest in the last iteration of the game, with, I think, something like 12 cars, give or take, I think, were in it. You had cars like the 96 Williams, 98 McLaren, a couple of Ferraris were in there, Red Bull, that sort of thing. And naturally, because Codemasters are a British developer, quite a few McLarens as well. But then they've added some more, and they've also added some more if you bother to pre-order the game. So the full list of cars, just to quickly run through them for you, because if this doesn't whet the appetite, I don't know what will. These new cars have been added to the pre-existing list. So we have the 1972 Lotus 72D, the 76 Ferrari 312 T2, the 76 McLaren M23D, both playable in Forza Motorsport, of course. The 1978 Lotus 79, the 79 Ferrari 312 T4, the 1982 McLaren MP4-1B. And the two new cars that you can get through the Headline Edition are the 2009 Braun BGP 001, yum, and the 2003 Williams FW25. Those then are added to the list of cars that came in from 27, which include the 88 McLaren MP4-4, the McLaren MP4-6, the Williams FW14, the Ferrari 412 T2, the Williams FW18, the McLaren MP4-13, Ferrari F2002, F2004 and F2007, the Renault R26, the McLaren MP4-23, and the Red Bull RB6. Breathe. It's quite a list, gentlemen, isn't it?
It's a list, to say the least. The only issue that I have with it is that you don't see... I mean, and I don't fully expect it to be either, but, I mean, there's really not a lot of cars that raced against each other in the same year, if you know what I mean.
Mm. Oh, yeah. No, I know exactly what you mean. But, again, that's also... One could throw that particular thing in the direction of Forza as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But for it being an F1 game, I mean, if that's really my only gripe about it, I say they've actually done quite well. I mean, the car that I'm actually looking forward to most on that, which I haven't gotten a full chance to fully explore the game, I've only done a full event weekend and career mode on it, which I like the way that they've done that, but we'll get back to that in a second. But the car I'm looking forward to the most, actually, is the Braun.
Yeah.
So, and just because it has that big old bright yellow slash on there, but anybody who knows me knows I like that particular color on my race cars. So,
it's very, very, very good. I actually genuinely think we're at the point now with Formula One games where the people playing them now remember the older games. They also have a much more historical understanding of Formula One. Of course, it's all about the new fans who want to come in and play the current cars, that's fine. But in order to keep bringing back the long-standing fans, I think appreciating the history is a big deal. So more historical cars, please. Actually, one thing I would really like to see, I don't know how feasible this is, I think bringing in the two junior categories as well, much as we see with MotoGP, would be a big logical step, particularly with career mode. What do you think, Lewis?
I think it would be as well. And you can argue to make it actually a whole nother game altogether, because Codemasters have been doing the games since, what, 2010?
Mm.
Or what have you and everything. And career mode goes on for 10 full seasons to begin with. What I would suggest is maybe one year, whenever they actually get a full 10, is make it from the 2010 season and go all the way through for a 10-year career with the different cars changing and teams changing, et cetera, et cetera. So I mean,
they used to do... Okay.
EA Sports did it for 4 seasons.
Yes, 1999 to 2002, yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. That was very
Yeah, that was an interesting concept, and I liked it because the cars are constantly changing. You weren't looking, I mean, albeit you were looking at the same shade of Ferrari red, but you weren't looking at the same shape of Ferrari red. I mean, and if you also incorporate it to the point where Codemasters does it now, where you can do the updates to the car and make it better and everything like that, then you can kind of be like, hey, yeah, this is what, you know, the updates that all that did last season, and then we've transferred it over to the new car, and this is what it looks like now. I mean, obviously, that's your exact details don't translate it over, but I mean, it's kind of a add more of a bit, I don't know what's the word I want, more depth. Yeah, we'll go with that. More depth and more immersion to it, would say.
One thing I recall, because I did play 9902 a lot, and expanded on the championships thanks to mods quite significantly. And one of the things that came in unofficially, but I always thought should have been a thing in the real game, was so when a season was completed, and of course with 9902 pretty much they all were, the mid-season car updates, of which, you know, more often than not they are or can be quite significant. Certainly historically they always used to be significant, to the point where you used to get effectively a B-spec car or a C-spec car in some instances. Those updates appeared on the cars at the exact point that they did in real life, at the exact circuits.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is just another extra little extra layer. You know, okay, so it might mean you don't bring the game out until November or something like that. But if it means that you can really add all this extra level of detail and stuff that the fans do want, then why not do it?
I mean, the fans do want it, but at the same time, if I really look at it, it's, I mean, this is just something that I would want to see. I mean, the casual gamer is going to go into there and you'd be like, yeah, I could drive this car from that particular season. I don't really care what the heck the small details look like, whether there's a dive plane added there or a winglet added there and everything. But as the racing purist that I am, I pay attention to the small details like that, and I think that would be a really cool thing to see. Mm-hmm. Is it a realistic thing to expect? Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm. That's what,
but it still would be really cool to see that.
Absolutely. Now, we had hoped to have Jordan Groves on with us, who's actually spent quite a lot of time through luck with this game post-release. He did, however, get in touch with Ben very recently. So, Ben, without reading out an entire essay, bless him,
he sent me 2 pages, ladies and gentlemen.
Because he is very enthusiastic about this game, and I don't blame him, because I have to say, I went in with all trepidation and cynicism of Formula One, and I actually did enjoy it. So Ben, what did Jordan have to say?
Actually, and before Ben gets really too in depth with that, kudos to Jordan for actually being interested in something other than NASCAR.
And kudos to John for not ending up on his roof.
Yes, that too.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so let's see. He says that one of the standout improvements for him was the handling model. Last one was arguably the best game in how great the cars felt, but they've upped it significantly in F1 2018. Let's see. The research
and development.
Yeah, the research and development changes are arguably the most significant for the career mode, as much as the greater scope for development with each area of the car, which kind of my casual like interest in F1 2018, because I'm just going to be honest, dear listener, I'm not interested in F1 enough to buy a $60 game that I'll pay maybe twice. So I'll just kind of watch from the sidelines, but that's...
At least you're honest.
Yes. Let's see. Anyway, getting back to my point, the research and development stuff they added is actually quite interesting to me, just because it makes the game function more like a race team, not as much as a... what's the word I want to use here? As a driving simulator, where you're just driving and you're not doing anything else. That kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
Which, again, I have to agree with that, because, I mean, albeit with other previous games, whether it be from EA or from Codemasters, whenever you did the practice sessions, or, I mean, you go to full race weekend for including three practice sessions, you have the three qualifying sessions and the race. Well, in reality, you only need the one practice session, but now they made it to where it's something a little to earn by participating inside of each practice session, whether it's just for one lap or 15. I mean, you still get points or credits to go do your research and development for every session that you participate in. So it kind of creates something for you to strive for whenever you go to each weekend on the career mode, which I really like.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Jordan also touches on the improvements to the AIs in the game. He's had some great races with him. Here's a quote. What's more, the AI race each other just as well as they race the player. He was blown away watching Lewis, Hamilton, and Bottas stay side by side for an entire lap of Shanghai without actually losing too much time to those around them. So that's kind of pretty interesting sight to see.
Yeah.
He touches on the classic cars that you guys have already spent a long time on. He does have some negatives to mention. As it stands, there does not seem to be any improvements to the multiplayer aside from safety rating features. He doesn't see how exactly this will benefit the multiplayer experience in the long run, because the online play is very glitchy and unstable as it stands, and he assumes that this is just the usual launch week problems, which is a common thing in Codemaster games. They'll be addressed in future patches and things like that. He also has some issues with the FOV and the cockpit camera.
We have got Halo to contend with, so I'm not overly surprised.
Yeah.
That's why I use the TV cam. Yay.
Yay!
Anyway.
TV cam, I like that.
He's also spent most of the time driving on his wheel, so he can't really compare it to the controller. He did say that the controller feels the controller offered no real comparison to the wheel, as I felt that I had much less control as you expect, and I also felt comparatively slower with the controller as opposed to the wheel. And that's kind of it, really, that you guys have already mentioned. So.
It is a very cool game. I think we talked about this actually when 2017 came out as well. I love the fact that when you do a career in particular, all the sessions now have a purpose. There's lots of little challenges to keep you occupied in each one. So you're not just going to go skip qualifying race.
Yeah, kind of like what I said earlier.
Yeah, each and every time. If you want to develop your car, if you want to improve your relationship with the team, and all these other extra peripheral elements are suddenly vital to your entire career. And actually, to be honest, okay, the challenges don't change from race to race. It's essentially a similar program each time. But that's no bad thing, and that's what happens at a race meeting.
Well, I was going to say, and if in reality, I think from race to race to race to race, they all pretty much have the same similar programs that each team does, because they're all, I mean, in game, they're all very pretty much exactly the same, but there is different data that the team actually gets per track, so they know what translates over. Now, albeit because we get to be the driver of that team, we don't get to see that so much, but from a real-life perspective, you send a driver out there just to do two laps on this particular track, you know what this car is going to do.
Mm. Well, I think
with these conditions.
I think also, let's face it, it wouldn't become tedious if you were doing it as per real life, and you know, obviously in game you want to do race.
Mm-hmm.
Now to do that, you've got to go through you don't have to go through the programs, but you should go through the programs.
If you want to make your car better, yes.
Exactly. So
make your car better faster.
Yeah. So in which case, I can understand why the repetitiveness and tedium might set in a bit for some. It actually therefore perhaps encourages you to space out when you do your big Grand Prix races, which then maybe perhaps encourages you to do bigger Grand Prix race. By that I mean in terms of lap count.
Mm-hmm.
Because it becomes more of an event, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to set aside a couple of hours to do the second race of the season or something like that, and that'll be what I do for a couple of hours, and I'll work my way through the program, I'll do qualifying, and then I'll go into the race, and I'll do the race.
I was going to say, whenever I get heavily involved into it and everything, I'll probably, like during the work week, once I get home from the busy day at work and everything, just want to take a load off and unwind a little bit. I'll probably spend the rest of the evening drawing out, doing the whole practice program, doing a qualifying and doing a full race, and then hopefully that takes me to supper and then go out and do other things and relax a little bit more at home. So, like you said, it does make it a little bit more of an event type thing.
Which is kind of what F1's about, so...
I do want to throw in on this as well, a very big welcome back feature on having to talk to the media and the press on that.
Yes.
That's... Again, another very small detail that makes you feel more like a race car driver inside of the game and lets you use your imagination that, yeah, I am on the same level or I'm on the same platform as a Lewis Hamilton or Kimi Raikkonen or Daniel Ricciardo. So a small detail, was it needed? No, but it helps with the immersion of the game, and I think it's a move in the right step. There we go. Now I can actually speak.
Perform a shoey. Press A for yes. B for no. Yeah. Real shoeys may or may not apply. No, I'm looking forward to I have to say, as I sort of intimated earlier, it's the first F1 title I really sort of properly want to get. Irrespective of my feelings about the real Formula One at the moment, not great. The game actually is weirdly more inspiring and interesting to me than it is watching an actual race. I tried to put the Belgian Grand Prix on for some minutes in between BTCC racings last weekend, and I got to lap 3 before I went, okay, I'm putting something else on now. Whereas I could happily sit in front of F1 2018 and test various classic cars and move myself up the leaderboards at various things.
I was going to say, the only fascination I have with F1 right now is their video games. Earlier today, the Monaco Grand Prix was on. I really didn't really care to watch any of it, if I'm honest.
Are you talking to us from the past?
Apparently.
Yeah.
Good Lord. There we go. What? He's got DeLorean parked outside, people.
We don't need.
Great Scott!
Right, well, in the last 17-18 minutes left of the show, should we talk about some Taurus stuff?
Can I insert one thing real quick?
I must dust myself off after having talked about Formula 1 for so long.
Can I insert one thing real quick before we move on to Taurus news?
Please.
Without pass the floor.
We should probably mention that NASCAR Heat 3 is coming out next month.
Facebook.
I think it's September 3rd? No. When is it? This is obviously how much I pay attention. September 7th is when it comes out.
September 7th. All right.
And apart from adding a new dirt series into it and a couple new tracks, it honestly does not look that different from Heat 2, if I'm honest.
Yeah, it's kind of like what we were talking about earlier with what EA does. Essentially gives you the exact same game, just with all new bits and bobs, and drivers moved around to a different spot, and
new Camaros.
Yeah, that's about it. Anything that's subtly changed from the previous year to the next year, that's pretty much all they've done, is changed that and then given you the exact same thing.
They're also linking in with the network that dare not speak its name.
To promote
esports.
Mm-hmm.
Bearing in mind that the lackluster uptake for the game, particularly amongst our friends who know and appreciate the wonderful world of turning left all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that was a good idea.
Yeah.
What it does do is answer the age-old question that I've had of, is this particular network trying to buy up every single thing in the world? And the answer is, apparently they are.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, getting back to the point, I'm honestly not going to get it.
I don't think anyone I know who likes NASCAR is getting that. That includes Mr. Brown and probably
Mr. Graves. The only way they're going to be able to salvage a NASCAR game is to give it to an actual developer.
Like EA.
Drop. No, not EA.
EA ruined it.
I hate to say
there is a reason that EA has won the worst customer award.
Yeah. What was it? A couple of years ago, they were actually considered the worst company to work for in the world.
Yeah.
Marvelous.
So, I'm picking Codemasters. Codemasters obviously does a good job with the yearly formula, and
you say that, but I genuinely think that the NASCAR expansion for Forza 6 was really well done.
It was really well done. The problem with a Forza game is that,
I get you don't have all the circuits and stuff. I get that.
Yeah, that's the main issue. But it's also because Forza is already trying to do so much already. Let's not add an official NASCAR license onto the top of it.
Arguably, it already has an official NASCAR license, but
you get me.
Yeah, I understand what you get.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We don't need 50 more cars. It's just 3 cars with 20 different paint jobs. Each.
And don't, for the love of all that is good and holy, don't then turn around and say, we're adding 40 new cars to the game. You're not. You're adding 3 body shells with multiple liveries on it.
Mm-hmm.
We know your game. Anyway, we digress. Should we talk about some Tora stuff? Because we really haven't done much. This is Tora radio show, ladies and gentlemen. You can contact us on the real_Tora on the wonderful world of Twitter. Should we talk about Tora and not just general motorsport?
We should.
This is why we love doing what we do.
TEC happened last month, this month?
Yes.
TEC, the first round of TEC at Silverstone took place, the 8 hours Silverstone. First round of our 2018 Tora Endurance Championship season. Was a great race, a couple different stories happened throughout the race. For instance, my car lagged out twice, so we ended up not getting any points. Hashtag sad.
That's the sound of Ben crying, and me and Matt just standing back like, this is a grown man crying, we're going to walk away now.
I feel awkward now.
Well, yeah,
I feel awkward.
Considering Matt's the owner of the car, then maybe...
That's even worse. You've made it that the car owner is even feeling awkward and is trying to walk away.
Anyway, let's get to the results, ladies and gentlemen.
Someone pass me tissue.
In the prototype class, winning overall was FRH Motorsports.
Mm.
Everyone tried to contain your shock. With an overall distance of 743.86 miles. And second was the Audi Sports Team Joe's tribute, which was driven by Europa and I can't, Vanquish, that's who it was, after their departure from AMS. So it's kind of a privateer team, but not really. They finished with 739.87 miles. Here's the exciting thing. In third place was the Kaito HCR Scuderia team, and they finished with 739.80 miles. So the difference between second and third 0.07 miles.
That's close.
If someone wants to send me a tweet with how exactly far that distance is, that'd be phenomenal. I don't feel like doing math at this point right now. So that kind of does it for your top three in prototype. As far as GT goes, we have LSEM Foundation powered by G2A, Chevy coming home in first with a total of 624.37 miles. In second was the Alien Motorsports GT M6, finishing with 623.98 miles. Pretty close finish between those two. And then coming in third was SVR Purple, a new team for who we all talked about as HCR Solar, his new team. Their M6 finished third with 622.57 miles. And I should point out that the other AMS Chevy finished only 0.4 miles behind the SVR Purple team. So very close throughout the field. If you look further down the field in 7th and 8th, there's a difference between 0.04 miles between the Kaito HCR All-Stars M6 and the EVR Motorsports GTC Ford. So very close racing throughout the day. I continue to go down this list and find really close finishes, like the AMR Corvette only finishing 0.2 miles ahead of the SM Radiant Grove Racing Team, both of those in Chevys. We pick up again in a little under 2 weeks now, September 8th with the 8 hours of Spa. Be sure to go to the forums to check all that information out.
forums.theonlineracingassociation.com for all your information on the current and upcoming events for the Southwest Comms Tora Endurance Championship 2018.
Thank you, Matt.
Lots of other series coming on. Lewis, we have, of course, the wonder that is IndyCar.
Yes, we just got done a little over, well, this weekend's round number two. So 2 weekends ago, we had round number one that was at Long Beach, which leading up to that race is when Forza decided to come up with their update for the track limits, and I got quite a few complaints leading up to that one saying that the track limits are not allowing me to get clean laps, blah, blah, blah. I'm just like, well, you know what the border is. Get a clean lap. I mean, it's the same for everybody else. It's not like it just chose to pick you in particular. So, but overall, actually, the event ran fairly clean. We have a few SIs that are still waiting to be determined still as I looked through. Yeah, I'm not seeing verdicts just yet. So we got a couple of them going through there, but a big win went out to the returning LMR Harmonic, David Hoke. So he did a great job out there on that one. So congrats to him. And moving on, this weekend we have actually an event that's probably a little bit close to me, and we have a very unique safety car that's going to be that at the XPR Moon Tower Memorial race that we have at Laguna Seca. So Moon Tower was only did one IndyCar race with us, and I was at Laguna Seca. And so we paint up a car that was painted up like what he ran for that particular event that becomes our safety car. And gonna have some good memories on that one, as he was my teammate for that particular season. And those who don't know, about midway through last year, he was tragically taken away from us from riding his personal motorcycle and got in a bad accident there with that. So we do miss him, and we have the Steve Colgate Hard Charger Award for all our races and his memory. So be a nice little tribute for this weekend.
Yes, absolutely. So as you say, very good to see Harmonic back in there. Callum Hawkins as well, third. Very cool. Great to see presence there. I should probably try and jump in myself at some point, because I did do an IndyCar a while back, and I sort of feel like it really should get some use.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah,
you really should.
Goodness.
Hashtag
gracious,
you really should. Get it trending, people.
staying on the other side of the pond, Ben. We've been teasing for a little while a returning series, which we're very pleased to say is back officially now, Trans Am.
Yes, Trans Am has returned. For those who are familiar with our American Iron series, it's basically that, but stripped down to only include a couple cars that would have taken place in the late 60s, early 70s Trans Am series. What Mike Johannes has done is that he's gone through the cars and he's built them in such a way that they are very similar to their real-life counterparts from that time period. So that means all the cars have a 6.2-liter V8 swap. Yes, it's 1.2 liters larger than what the actual cars had, but we don't have a 5.0-liter V8 swap in Forza, so we're going with the big block. All cars have to have race brakes, sports springs, race front anti-roll bars, rear anti-roll bars, a full race cage, a street transmission, a race differential, and race tires. Each car will differentiate depending on balance as they go. It's all laid out very neatly in the forums section for Trans Am. And that's the forums at the onlineracingassociation.com, where you can find all this information out. The cars for this series include the 71 AMC Javelin, the 1970 Camaro Z28, the 1969 Camaro Supersport, the 1970 Dodge Challenger RT, the 1969 Ford Mustang Boss 302, the 1979 Plymouth Cuda 426 Hemi, obviously without the Hemi, the 1973 Pontiac Firebird Trans Am ST455, and lastly, the 1969 Pontiac Firebird Trans Am. So we're half cars from all the big three. Ford's only got one car in there, but that's just kind of how it worked out that way. The balance of performance is actually really close this season. The teams, which is one of the more interesting things that Mike does with these, the teams are not allowed to have the same car throughout their team. So if you have like three different teammates, each person has to have a different car. It just kind of prevents the field from being all 70 Camaros or all 70 Challengers or all 69 Firebirds or something like that. So this is, of course, a UK and US series, so there will be a EU championship and a US championship in their relevant times. And I'm happy to say this, that we will have full YMTV coverage for the entire season, with the EU getting standing updates during the US broadcast and that full US broadcast over on by our friends on YMTV.
Absolutely.
calendar, which I cannot remember at the moment, is all going to be basically like all of the tracks that you would expect in a Trans Am series and what they actually went to. So we'll be visiting Laguna Seca. We'll be visiting Watkins Glen without the bus stop chicane. We'll be visiting Road America and Road Atlanta and Sebring and all the other usual tracks you would expect.
Yep, so the Trans Am series starts on the 13th of September, so not too long to go now. And of course, as Ben rightly said, that is open to EU and US entries. So pick the series that best suits your race time, and we look forward to seeing you online for what is going to be, if nothing else, very loud series. So
very loud series.
So best just warn your neighbours is probably, because this is a series that's worth being turned up to 11 for, I think.
This one goes to 11. By the way, why is there no Mercury Cougar Eliminator in there?
Because the Mercury Cougar Eliminator is OP.
Ah.
Like, ridiculously OP. Like, we'll give it the least amount of tire and the least amount of horsepower, and it'll still beat everything by, like, half a second.
I was going to say, because that car did race in period, and I know it's in-game, why isn't it included? Now you just answered my question, so.
Because Forza.
Hashtag because Forza.
Because Forza.
There you go. And conveniently, that is the end of the series. Actually, just one very quick piece of news that we did actually sort of omit. Just to quickly say that the GTR3, one of the most anticipated, also my mind, one of the more anticipated sports car titles to come out, apparently has an official link with the World Endurance Championship. Interesting times.
I'd be excited for that.
Yes, hope to find out much more about that in the next show towards the tail end of September. Blimey, that's another month gone.
Can we do these every week?
Not really.
I would like to.
I would. Well, I don't.
That would be great fun, but I don't think I have the schedule for it.
Don't think people.
Well,
want
neither
to
do I. But I'd still like to do it every week.
Yeah. One of these days, we'll do a live one, all three of us in the same room. That would be really, really cool.
That would be cool to do that one day.
One day, if we get the schedules right, we'll do it. Coming to you in 2019. The American, a loud American, and a Brit who is big enough to be an American. All in the same room. Anyway, enough slander for one day, I think. Thank you very much for listening to our incessant ramblings for yet another month of sim racing goodness here at the Online Racing Association. I've been Matt. Ben's been adulting, actually. Well, and,
adulting.
And Lewis has been appreciating a four-wheel series that doesn't go left all the time. Thank you very much for listening to us once more. We'll see you next month. Bye for now.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production.
Tell your friends there's more at RadioLeMans.com.